you have to tell stories that show, prove you have the skills through results that the job is asking for.
Hello and welcome to the Brand New You Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you build a credible brand. I'm your host, Ryan Roten, and today's guest is Marie Zimanoff, CEO of Career Thought Leaders and the Resume Writing Academy. At Career Thought Leaders, Marie strives to equip career service professionals with tools, training, and support that they need in order to succeed. She also champions the world's premier resume training organization, the Resume Writing Academy, to provide leading-edge programs, content, and resources for resume writers so they can elevate their writing skills to world-class standards. Marie, it is my pleasure to welcome you to the Brand New You Show.
Thanks, Ryan. Glad to be here.
I'm excited to have you on. But before we get into the content, I have one question that I like to ask all of my guests, which is, if you could vacation in only one place for the rest of your vacation days, where would you go?
Northern Spain. Not very many people and gorgeous.
Okay. Is there a specific city there?
You have San Sebastian, which is gorgeous. Santander, which is a little bit lower key and still really pretty. They have their own Grand Canyon, if you will, that I hiked a little bit of and I'd love to go back to. And I loved it. Just more low key and very diverse landscape.
As I was preparing for today's discussion, there's one thing that I noticed about you that's different from some of the people that I've interviewed in the past, which is you seem to have been interested in the career space like right out of the gate. So what is it about the career space that interests you?
So I actually started wanting to be a career counselor.
Okay.
In junior high. I had an excellent career counselor that helped me figure out how to advance in a few subjects because I was struggling a little bit because I was bored. Mm. And so she was just amazing. And then in high school, I actually did a research project and sent out surveys to other high schools to ask them about how satisfied they were with their guidance counselor because ours sucked. And like wrote a whole senior thesis on how other people loved their guidance counselors and ours was not very effective. So you could say that I started very young in the careers industry and then kind of circled back around to it and went back to try to be a school counselor. And in my first few classes, heard from school counselors how it was really all about working with parents and kind of took a step up then and decided that I wanted to work with college students, which I did for a while, and then work out in the community with adults.
Wow. That junior high, I don't even think I knew like what a profession was in junior high.
I don't think I really thought about it like that. But now that I look back on it, I can see that she was really good at what she did, which then sparked the passion for proving that the person in high school was not as good at her job, which, you know, that's just kind of my rousing personality. Oh, my poor mother. But I was passionate about what the impact was that that type of professional could have on me, my peers, and saw, you know, our peers in other schools doing things that people out of my school weren't doing that I didn't think were any more qualified. And it was because they had the support of a great guidance counselor, if you will, was the title back then.
Wow, that's pretty cool, though. I don't think people appreciate the role as much as they should of a guidance counselor at a school and the work that they do to help keep kids on track or at least kind of help them understand where their path or track could be.
Yeah, and all the options and then all the, I came from a small school in a rural area and was really concerned about my ability to pay for college. You know, looking back at it, it was like, wow, there's some pretty simple resources that someone could have shared with me to help understand and not have created so much stress on me. Like I thought I had to earn enough money to pay for it myself. And so it was, you know, it was a lot of stress that I didn't necessarily have to undergo and all the benefits that come along with that, of course. But it was one of the issues that we were having at my school at the time.
Actually, you talk about kind of giving back and sharing resources, you know, people shared with you. You have done that in spades as you give back through your career, sharing different resources with not just people who are, you know, in that spot in their career where they're looking for something different or they need to move in a different way, but also just helping career service providers as well. And so I'm curious, when you, as you moved through your career and you had different, you know, different roles as a counselor and a resume writer, and at some point you decided to branch out on your own and you started a company called A Strategic Advantage. What made you want to start that business?
So I was working at the university at the time and applying to career counseling positions, career service positions in the university, and kind of kept hitting this weird ceiling. At the time, I was an administrative professional because I was an advisor, and they had those classified as administrative professionals, or actually state classified in the state system. And I kept hitting this weird barrier of transitioning from state classified to admin pro, which is what a career service professional is on a college campus in Colorado, at least. And I kept, you know, kind of getting some interviews and then not getting hired, and they'd hire people that didn't have any training. And I was like, okay, this is just not, it's not working. And I wanted to do career stuff. I saw the benefit of it. I'd worked with someone in the community who ran her own business, and kind of just took the leap. In September 2008, when the economy was crashing, right, I decided to quit my job at the college and go out on my own. And it really was great because I had people that I supported from the beginning, a career coach, a high-level resume writer on the East Coast. I got in with our workforce center and taught classes. So I got this really diverse experience because I was hustling my little butt off trying to make it in the down economy.
Some could say that maybe you were crazy, right, for leaving what would be considered a safe job and making the jump. But at the same time, I think it might be a little bit savvy in that while the economy is going down, you know, as one of the unfortunate side effects of that was people were being let go from their job, they needed the help that you were getting ready to provide them. You know, so maybe it was the perfect timing.
Well, that was definitely true at the Workforce Center. The Workforce Center at that point in my community was hiring contractors that they'd never done that before to teach their workshops. And one of my main gigs in those first few years was teaching workshops at least 8 hours, if not more, a week at the Workforce Center because their staff just couldn't handle the load. The independent clients were a bit more challenging because, of course, a lot of them didn't have money, weren't expecting to be laid off. You know, some of them had severance, some of them didn't. So that was more of a challenge. And I'd have people say to me, oh, you know, you're in the perfect business. And I was like, no, I look forward to being in this business when things are good. Mm. And I'm helping people who are employed and looking for something better, not helping people who are, you know, devastated. And obviously we still have people that are being laid off, but there's much better opportunities now. It's much more fun to be a career service professional now.
I'd imagine. So what, as you were getting your business off the ground, what were some of the biggest challenges or struggles you faced as you were trying to grow your business?
So I graduated from a career counseling master's program. And when I started my business, the cash cow, if you will, was writing resumes. Mm. And I loved it pretty quickly because I saw how it was the outward expression, the tangible product of the career decision-making process. It's a little bit obtuse to help someone figure out what they want to do with their life. But when you start working on the resume, it puts all the pieces in place and it makes it very visible that this is their focus. This is who they are. This is their brand, if you will. So I loved that. I didn't mind it. And in some ways was kind of looked down upon from my career counseling peers because I wasn't doing career counseling, right? I was just writing resumes. And that was a little bit of a struggle, kind of identity-wise, if you will. And for a while I was really, you know, how do I get back to doing more career counseling, et cetera, et cetera. And then I really found this happy place where they both work together very well to do a little bit of career work and branding and focus and then help people with their resume and took pride in helping people with that more specific tangible piece of it in addition to the other pieces. You know, it's interestingly money wise. So I worked at a university, right, in a state classified position. So I wasn't making much money. It wasn't a big hurdle to get that much income coming in. So that piece of it was interestingly not as much of a challenge. But I also was working way more than people should work. So I was probably writing at least one resume a day. I think for the first couple of years of my business, I probably wrote on average more than one resume a day, like 365, not just, you know, the 5 days a week, but 365. And at one point I would fall asleep at stoplights because I was getting up early and staying up late and just wanted to be successful, wanted to hustle. So I always kind of laugh when I see those books and things talk about, you know, the 5 hour work week, because maybe you get there eventually, but if someone's a new entrepreneur and they're feeling bad because they're hustling, that's just the first few years of your business. It's just the way it works and it's going to be okay.
I can relate to that. I don't know that I've fallen asleep at stoplights simply because I don't have a commute to work. But
mine was really short, thankfully.
Speaking of those new entrepreneurs, can you share any kind of tips or things that you learned as you were starting your business in order to help them like generate leads? Where do they go? What types of activities should they get involved in or would you recommend to help them, you know, really kind of start to get the ball rolling, if you will, in their business?
So do what your strengths are. For me, although it was weird and I didn't expect it, public speaking ended up being a way that I generated leads. There was a local job search club. My mentor introduced me to them and I'd present there and I'd get leads, not necessarily always from the club because it was more of a do-it-yourself kind of club, but they would refer me to other people, new people who came in. Some of them would be interested in purchasing services. But I have colleagues who hated that and got really good SEO. So one of my counselor friends in Denver, she has like the number one website if you Google counselor, career counselor Denver. And she's not a public person. She's a very introverted person. And so she learned and self-taught to make sure that her website would come up at the top. So people need to figure out what their strengths are. Are you a writer? Are you a podcaster? Do you want to get into the technical stuff of how to do the SEO? Do you want to do public speaking? Because there's a lot of different ways to generate leads. Don't force yourself into thinking that you've got to do it one way, because if it doesn't match with your strengths, you probably won't be successful in it.
Yeah, I've found that sometimes like what works for one person will not work for somebody else. And it really depends on where you can shine. Say, for example, not that this is true, but Snapchat could work for me, but it may not work for somebody else. And so you got to find what works best for you as you start to look at how do you bring in new business for your new company.
Right. And where is your audience? So it's that magic space between your strengths and where your audience is. And then you keep experimenting. Like I found the project management Institute groups were great for me. And then the young professionals group at my chamber would be great for me. I'd go there once a year to do a presentation and I'd get a few clients and then I'd get referrals all the rest of the year. Because obviously young professionals, usually 5 to 7 years into their career, most of them were thinking about a change or how do I advance. So it's figuring out what works for you and then where's your audience.
How do you stay up to date on the latest trends that are happening with a resume, right? So most people think of a resume as just this document with your career information on it. But, you know, we know that there's been changes in how it gets presented and formatted and all that stuff over the last few years. How do you, what do you do to stay up to date on what those changes look like or need to be?
Yeah, so I have an awesome group of professionals that help me with that. We have a board for career thought leaders who stays abreast with those changes. Some of them are more focused on resume and some of them are more focused on the coaching side. And then just some other professionals like Dr. Cheryl Minnick. She is at a university of Montana, and she's able to see the backside of applicant tracking systems and sit down with employers and really look at them. So she knows what's going on there. She teaches those classes with me. And whenever someone asks an applicant tracking system question that I don't know, I ask her. And then I pay a lot of attention to what my colleagues are saying, what they're seeing, and what recruiters are saying, because sometimes a trend is trendy, but it's not necessarily going to stick. So infographic resumes, for instance, they were a trend, and you could tell kind of from the beginning that they probably weren't going to stick because they don't work in applicant tracking systems. Human resources people really didn't like them that much. And so we stay kind of abreast of those trends of, okay, this is where some parts of the profession are pushing, but then this part of the profession is kind of pushing back. How do we help people navigate that? Because they might be hearing something that is quote unquote a trend, but it really isn't going to serve their client. And we want to be on top of the trends. We want to be leading edge. We also want to be practical so that our clients achieve their goals. And there's always that fine balance there.
If there was one thing that you could wish that all job seekers knew about a resume, what would that be?
It's really quite basic in that you have to tell stories that show, prove you have the skills through results. So not just the skills, but through results that the job is asking for. If you do that, you'll go through an applicant tracking system. You'll catch the recruiter's eye. Most people don't take the time to do that. Very simple thing is to look at the requirements and then show how you have delivered the same results, solved the same problems that that company is asking for in their job announcement. And I hear a lot about, you know, oh, I'm not getting through applicant tracking systems. Most of the time, that's because people are applying for positions for which their resume really wasn't written.
Interesting. And part of that could be too, like, how do you think, let me ask it this way. Within LinkedIn, for example, they have, you know, they've got the job boards and you can go in and they have that one button apply, which doesn't allow you to tailor anything in most cases. And you basically just click it and your profile goes off. How do you think that that's impacting some of those situations?
Yeah, that just requires people to be kind of bigger picture. So instead of just looking at one announcement, you have to look through, you know, three or four announcements that you think you might apply to. LinkedIn makes it kind of easy. If you work with a coach that has this feature, or you as a job seeker want to do your 1 month free premium, then you actually get to see the skills of the other people who are applying to the job. So it's kind of the secret feature in LinkedIn that if you're premium, you can look at a job announcement and it will tell you how many people have applied and et cetera. But if you have a premium, you can see the top skills of the people who have applied. So if you looked through three or four announcements and gathered those skills and kind of combined them and looked at themes, et cetera, you could write a profile that's going to fit for most of the jobs you apply to based on that kind of background research. It's not as targeted as a resume, but it can get pretty close if you're pretty focused.
That's a good tip.
Interestingly, when I reach out to recruiters, most of them will say that although even if you use the apply on LinkedIn button, you will still at some point have to submit your resume to upload into their applicant tracking system. That might change in the future because LinkedIn is creating their own applicant tracking system. But right now, even if you hit that apply on LinkedIn button, if you're, you know, at the somewhat top, in whatever range people are, you know, however many candidates they're pulling, they'll still ask you to submit a resume. So be ready for that.
Within the Resume Writing Academy, you offer a few different certifications. Can you tell us what those are?
Yeah, so our main one is the Resume Writing Certification, Academy Certified Resume Writer, ACRW. And that one is really in-depth training on resume writing. So we meet people where they're at. We offer classes, but then they write 5 resumes. And because they write those resumes based on materials that we give them, where we've kind of planted strategic problems, we can give them strategic feedback as well as formatting and writing feedback. So if someone's a pretty good writer, we can really help them improve their strategy. If someone's not a good writer, we can stick there with them and really help them become a good writer as they move through those five projects. We have people that take that program that are just starting or who have been in the industry for 20 years, and we're able to flex it to really give them feedback that's at their level, which I love about that program and all the individual feedback that people get. The Academy Certified Profile Writer is similar, except for that it's in profiles. We do focus on LinkedIn, but we also talk about Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, because we know that depending on the age group people are working with, it's not just going to be LinkedIn, and it maybe needs to be more than LinkedIn. And because recruiters are looking other places, and especially our younger job seekers can really maximize recruiters that are looking on Instagram. There are a lot of recruiters looking on Instagram, so they can really maximize that. And we want our coaches to have some knowledge, resume writers to be able to have some knowledge to help them with that. So they write profiles, they get feedback very similar to the resume writing one, but it's all focused on profiles.
How much do you, this is maybe a little off topic, but at the same time on, how much do you think congruency of your profiles across all your social networks as well as tied back to your resume plays a role in whether or not candidates like get selected or maybe get rejected?
So I think the data from Career Builder a couple years ago was 50-something% of recruiters had rejected a candidate because of something they found on social media. Wow. Now, some of that's probably the obvious blatant drinking, puking, you know, right. Like things that, you know, but some of it is incongruence. Now, the hard part is that everything needs to have its own voice, right? Your resume has a resume voice, your LinkedIn profile has a professional but yet conversational voice, and your Facebook profile even more, you know, conversational, personal voice. So they have different voices, but yet they all need to be somewhat on brand, congruent, showing who you are in a way that's authentic, you can't pretend, and yet appropriate for the platform that it's on.
Right. Okay. You last question, and I want to move into the Career Thought Leaders organization. For the ACRW and the ACPW, if I got those acronyms correct, what is the length or duration of time it takes? So if I, you know, if somebody listening wanted to sign up, how long would they expect to go through that program?
Yeah, so they take about 3 months each to complete, although if you do them together, it's a little bit faster. But it's, you take classes, five classes, and then you write five resumes. So, you know, people might do one class a week and then they write one resume a week. We usually have people rewrite at least one of those projects. We give you feedback. It's very specific. We tell you what to change so that you can see after you make the changes, the difference between your first version and your second version. That before and after is really powerful for people. So it takes about 3 months to complete. The great thing is that people can do it on their own time. So we have what's called a self-paced class where you can start anytime, or they can do it as a class, which is a webinar. You can come on live and listen to the questions other people have, et cetera. And we do that twice a year in September and February.
Let's talk career thought leaders. I know you mentioned it a little while ago, but what, for those who don't know or aren't familiar, what is Career Thought Leaders?
Yeah, so Career Thought Leaders is a think tank. It's not really an association, although we have the option for people to become associates and be listed on our website and kind of demonstrate their dedication to the field. It's not an annual membership. And what Career Thought Leaders is set up to do is really provide trends, opportunities for discussion and learning with career colleagues, training and networking, both in person and virtually. So we're out there setting and discussing and sharing trends in the industry so that people can stay abreast. What I hear from people so often in our profession, in the career services profession, is that there's just so much to stay on top of. How do we know what to pay attention to? How do we know what's important? And that's what we try to provide, is the things that people really need to pay attention to, and the trends that are going to impact their work now and in the future.
Who are the members that should join Career Thought Leaders? Is it career service providers only, or is there a broader scope of folks who could join if they wanted to?
Yeah, so we have associates that are in workforce centers, government, nonprofit, you know, like the Good Samaritan or Goodwill. We have people in community colleges, universities, and then those in independent or private practice. We have some recruiters and some from the K-12 setting, but not many.
Awesome. Full disclosure, I am an associate member. So I know, as you said a minute ago, one of the things that you do with Career Thought Leaders is discuss, share trends, and you do that in a number of different ways. One of those ways is through different webinars and webinar series that you offer throughout the course of the year. Can you tell us a little bit about the webinars that you put on within the Career Thought Leaders group?
Yeah, so there's some that are free, and especially there's some on the Resume Writing Academy that are free. You can go and listen to them or our YouTube channel. And then we do some webinars where we bring in experts to share about specific skills or trends that career professionals need to be aware of. So the summer social one really came about because people kept telling me, like, oh, Marie, I love your infographics. So for the last 2 years, I've created an infographic from the outcomes of our annual white paper. And, people said, oh, I love that. How do you do that? And so one of the summer social sessions is someone coming to talk in about infographics. Like, how do you know data is good for an infographic? What are some design principles to create good infographics, and then what systems can you use to create one? So that's one of the sessions. Another one is on Canva and using Canva to design social media images, because we know images get 45 times more shares than words alone. And so the Tanya Smith is going to be talking to us about creating those graphics. You can also use Canva to create LinkedIn profile headers. So after she's done talking about graphics in Canva, I'm going to show people, you know, how to do a LinkedIn header in Canva. Super easy, which is awesome. And then video. So video shared and engagement, much more even than visuals on social media, but yet a lot of career professionals are afraid to do it, and yet we're trying to coach our clients to do it, but we're not doing it. So we're going to have a couple of sessions on video. One, again, Tanya Smith talking about video and more live video, and then Brighton is going to be talking about YouTube 101, you know, how do you SEO a video and make sure that it will do well as it can on YouTube.
Another way that you help discover and or discuss and share trends is once a year. I think it's once a year. You correct me if I'm wrong, but you gather as many career thought leaders as you can into one big webinar that you call, I'm calling it a webinar, but we'll call it a webinar summit, that you call the Career Jam. Can you tell me a little bit about the Career Jam?
Yeah. The Career Jam's been going on, I think this may be our 10th year. Is that? Oh, I'm going to have to look that up. But it is, as you said, a gathering of thought leaders. It attracts a special audience, the thought leaders of the thought leaders, people who really love to talk trends and look at trends. There's always practical nuggets that come out of that. Last year, we changed the format just a little bit and assigned trends, if you will, that we saw happening in the marketplace, in the economy in general, and had career service providers look at how are our services changing because of these trends and how will they change in the future. So artificial intelligence, storytelling and branding, generations in the workplace. There were six main, I call them mega trends, that we brainstormed around. And we'll be running that same format again this year with new topics, things that are new trends in the mega trend land, and then talking about how are our services changing because of this, or how do they need to. Keeps us fresh, keeps us thinking forward and making sure that we're doing things that help our clients now, not what used to help them yesterday, because we know that everything's changing so quickly.
And the paper that you put out afterwards, after, you know, when you kind of pull together all the collective knowledge, is actually very impressive, very informative. And so anyone who's interested in participating in those things, they need to head over to Career Thought Leaders and sign up so they can participate. But another way that you have for people to participate within the organizations is through the Career Thought Leaders Conference. Can you tell me a little bit about the Career Thought Leaders Conference?
Yeah, so this is my favorite. People always kind of laugh because I'm a millennial, and yet I still love getting together with people in person. Virtual is just not, doesn't cut it for me. So I love the conference because it's that opportunity to connect with people in person. I have a hard time virtual learning, actually. I always am multitasking. So I love to go to a conference where you just have to sit in it, right? And it's really rude if you're on your phone while someone's talking in front of you. So it helps me focus and get that energy and really get rejuvenated, which is what a lot of the feedback is that we get, is that rejuvenation, that connection, those relationships that last forever, provide referrals as well as just information sharing. There are 3 days. We bring in leaders in the industry and leaders in other industries so that we can get good information, cross paths. So in this last conference, we brought in a branding and marketing expert who's not in the career space so that we can think about our work differently, right? Think about it from their lens. And actually the storytelling presentation was someone from news media, not someone that had the career's background necessarily. So bringing in those different perspectives so that we can challenge ourselves a little bit. And 3-year rotation where we go East Coast, International, West Coast. And I say them in that order because that's the order they will be appearing next. We'll be on the East Coast in 2020. And then we're choosing our international city here in the next couple of months at the latest and be announcing the 2021 European. It will be a European destination. We went to Madrid in 2018 for our first European event, and it was amazing. So I'm looking forward to doing that again.
I got to attend this year for the first time, and I really enjoyed it. But obviously great presentations throughout. I learned a lot of things from all the speakers that, you know, whose presentation I was able to attend. But one of the best things for me was to be able to put faces to people who I've only seen or communicated with virtually. Like, so, you know, LinkedIn, I watched, you know, like I was following people on LinkedIn, and all of a sudden there they are right in front of me. And so it was really great to, you know, actually be able to speak with someone who I'd been following for a while online.
Yeah, that was a really fun piece of this last conference, which I don't know if it just hasn't been pointed out as much in the past ones, but there were quite a few people that said, you know, I've been talking to these people on LinkedIn and really following them or connecting with them on Twitter, and now here they are in person. And that was a lot of fun to watch those reunions, if you will, happening.
Marie, we could probably talk about stuff for a lot longer, but as the saying goes, all good things must come to an end. So for anybody who's listening today who would like to learn more about what you do with the Resume Writing Academy or Career Thought Leaders, what are some of the best ways for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so always connect with me on LinkedIn. Marie Zimanoff, Zimenoff is pretty easy to find on LinkedIn. So feel free to connect with me there. And then careerthoughtleaders.com, resumewritingacademy.com. I am Marie, M-A-R-I-E, at either of those. So you can email me, visit the websites, visit our YouTube channel, connect with me on LinkedIn. And I always look forward to connecting with fellow career professionals or job seekers and connecting them with the resources they need.
Awesome. Marie, thank you very much for your time today, and I appreciate you being a guest on the program.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
Today's show was edited and produced by Ryan Roper. Today's music is called Hudson Hawk by Neon Beach. All licenses for today's show were purchased via soundstripe.com.